Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the new, the improved. Well, I guess we'll see if you think it's improved. Inner Bloom Podcast Season 2. This is officially Episode 1.
I should have sound effects. Damn it. Should have had it ready. Oh, well.
I think we're going to go to our grave saying that.
Well, yeah, for sure. That's going to be a thing forever.
Those damn sound effects. We are so happy with the response just from our last episode where we came back and we told you guys what's going on. Everyone has been so great and supportive and excited, and we did start to get some questions in from you guys. So today we are going to take two questions from our audience. One is a voice message and the next one's written in. So we'll go over those and – that's it.
Okay.
Anything before we start, Ambi, anything going on in your life? Because I'm the Buffalo Bills today have an incredibly, incredibly important game. This could be like revolutionary. And I have to tell you that the town of Buffalo is a little bit like crazy in the best way, but they're building this – I'm just going to tell you this because I think you'll think it's funny.
Okay.
They're building a new football stadium that isn't at all built yet. It's just a pit. Okay. And basically the hospital in Buffalo has said that every game that we've won since this winning streak we've been on, somebody has come into the hospital from falling into the pit. And so now the town of Buffalo thinks that people are making sacrifices of themselves to the pit to win these games. And so now all these people are sacrificing themselves and other things to the pit. They don't die. I just think they get a little hurt.
What? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I've heard some crazy shit.
I know.
People are crazy.
I know. And like this is coming from two people who've done like spells and rituals.
Yeah, for yeah. real.
Yeah. Yeah.
At first I was like, who are those people?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we harm ourselves in any of those spells or rituals.
No. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I don't want to whatever makes you happy, I guess. If it just that's what does it.
It kind of reminds me of like Parks and Recreation. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I never watched that show.
Okay. Well, if you guys did watch that show, you'll know what I mean about the pit. But anyway, everyone send good vibes to Buffalo today. That's what's going on in my life.
But does someone have to die in the pit for Buffalo?
No,
to
no
win?
One has to die. There just has
but
to be.
People have like, to be thrown into the pit.
Well,
I want to see the pit.
Like, okay, my husband's. It's
is
a
he
really
go
big
into
pit.
The pit.
No, my husband's best friend, who is from Buffalo, but like he lives on the West Coast now. Apparently, like someone is taking his dad's ashes and like throwing them in the pit. You know,
I can
like,
see
that's
that.
Good. Like
that
works.
Makes sense. That
yeah,
checks
yeah.
out for me. Like that yeah. makes more sense than like launching yourself into a pile of rubble.
I agree.
Which is what I'm imagining.
Agree. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we'll see if the feeding the pit worked later. Any updates you want to make before we jump in here?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
So this first – both of these questions are anonymous today. This first question is from anonymous number one. Here we go.
Hey, Amy and Alexa. Congratulations on your time away and this new podcast structure. I'm excited to see where this new journey leads. I'm going to call in anonymously with my question. And to give some context to this question, it's job related. I currently work in the tech industry. I work from home and I'm fully remote, which is very nice. And in general, I have a lot of flexibility in this position and overall would say that I like what I do. Where the question kind of starts is I, over the past couple of years of working here, it's come to my attention that there's pay discrepancy against the people in my position. So faith kind of tried to rectify this, and I did get a raise about a year into working for this company that bumped me about $10,000 more than what I started at. But even with that raise, I knew that I was still significantly under where many other people were. As people get hired for this position, they give them different ranges of salary. And so most people that have started after me that I know of are making like $6,000 to $10,000 more than I am. In some cases, someone that I helped recruit is making $16,000 more than I am. We've actually lost one of my coworkers to this issue because she had asked for raises and more fair pay, and they kind of gave her the runaround and never did anything about it. So she got frustrated and left. I've also asked for a raise and was denied, and so you can kind of understand where the frustration starts to come into play here. So my plan has been to start job searching, to find something with a higher pay, and then maybe use that as leverage if I wanted to stay, to see if they would match that, but ultimately probably leave and go somewhere new. But given the economy and how the job industry is, that's been slow moving. And so where my question is, or what my question is I have a performance review coming up, and I'm wondering if I should ask again and kind of disclose some of the things that I've learned and kind of just be honest about my frustration and where my feelings are. Ultimately, I'd still like to change to a new job, but what are your thoughts? What should I do? I have conflicting opinions on what I should do, but I would love to hear your take. Thank you so much. I hope you all enjoy the rest of your day and keep on blooming.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't feel like this is something new. I don't feel like this is something that's like crazy out of left field, but I've seen this so much in corporate America and so much in any job that you go into. And this is why they don't want you to discuss your pay with your coworkers, right? I say go try to find another job that will pay you what you're worth. I think that if you move through the idea of scarcity and this economy, I'm not going to be able to find another job, well, look for it. Worst thing that happens is that you're in the job that you're in for a little bit longer. Like, that's what I would say. Mm-hmm. I remember when I worked in a large corporation, I got a raise and it was 3%, which was like 30 cents. It was
what?
It was absolutely a slap in the face. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's like more insulting than no raise.
100%. So, and they tell you like, we're paying you an average salary. Great. But like, I have to work two or three jobs to make ends meet. So this isn't working. Mm-hmm. I know someone that is a doctor of physical therapy and worked for this company for 15 years and never got a raise. So it's not just like the level of education. It's mm-hmm. also just in all industries. Once you're with a company for a long time, they're less likely to give you a livable wage salary or like the wage that they are hiring new people at, which is really awful because it's, in my opinion, and I never owned a big company, but it doesn't make any sense because it's going to cost the company more money to hire new people and train them than it would be to keep the people that they have. So it doesn't make any sense to me what the thought process is, but I say try to find another job. Don't leave this job. Please don't leave this job before you find another one, but I would try to find another one.
I agree. I mean, I think you said it perfectly, Ambie, and that I was going to ask you, like, yes, speaking of that, like, what is your opinion on, because, you know, as you're getting a new job, like the way that the system works is like you get to negotiate for your job, right? Like you get to say what, like, even this person was saying in their message, well, you know, maybe I could get another job offer and then leverage that. I mean, there's so many ways you can negotiate, right? Mm-hmm. And so that means that everyone working, whatever position they're in, they do have different pay. You know what I mean? Right. Like they – and that's because of – their decision to negotiate and like what they were willing to negotiate or how they were willing to approach that job, but also like, you know, skill level or experience or whatever. So do you think that in the future, like people like that shouldn't be the system, or like, what are your thoughts on that? Cause you're like, this doesn't make sense, but it's like at the same time, I guess in this capitalistic system, like how are we supposed to, like that's the whole game is like negotiating, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but I think that negotiating is probably a good system for both parties, in my opinion. It's a good system for both parties, but I always shoot for much, much higher than what I'm currently making or than what I need to live off of, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm just going to throw random numbers in here, if hourly I want to make $50 an hour, I'm going to ask for 65. Mm-hmm. So that way they can talk me down to 55 or 50 and I'm still at where I want to be.
Yep, totally.
So, also, and I've done that for as long as I've been working.
Yeah. I mean, and it sounds like this caller is like, it sounds like this business that you work for, it doesn't sound like they're in a very expansive position. Like it doesn't sound like they're very, like the fact that they're losing people and they're just not getting around to like conversations and stuff. It doesn't necessarily feel like they're someone that you're going to want to grow with necessarily. Yeah. This is piggybacking on what Ambie said. It's like, so even though, and I think what she was saying was that she has a kind of sweet deal with this company where she really gets to work fully remote and has a lot of freedom. But at the same time, it's like, don't limit yourself to just that. Like if you have the time and the freedom and the work from home, it's like, well, there's more out there. Like you could work for a company that is attentive and does have ability to have conversations and negotiations continuously in place so that you feel incentivized and motivated. And if a company isn't interested in that, like keeping their employees incentivized and motivated and happy, then like what is their, to your point, Ambie, like what is their long term, what is the thinking behind that? Like what does that say about their ability to outlast this crazy economic world we're in right now, you know?
Yeah. And I think the other thing is if you do feel like sacrifices need to be made in the aspect of, well, maybe I can't find a job that's fully remote like this one. So maybe you make more money, but you have to go into an office twice a week. That's not terrible, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have to like commute and things like that, but it's not that bad. But I also think it might not seem that bad to me, but it might be this bad to that caller. So you have to decide what is worth it and what's not worth it. But for me, money is always going to be something that motivates me and drives me. I remember when I worked at the YMCA, gosh, I was like 20 years old. I was such a baby. And I got a $3 an hour raise. And I thought I was like big shit because it was such a significant jump. But with that raise came a new promotion, a new job title. And I went from overseeing myself, and that was it, to overseeing something like 500 people. And it
was
significantly not worth the $3 an hour. It was insane. Yeah. So I think the other, that's, you have to understand like what expertise you're gaining at each job too. That's where I really learned that you have to keep track of every fucking thing that you do in a job. And it's not you being boastful. It's you keeping track of, I'm leading people. I'm leading this many people for this salary. This isn't proportional. I'm doing all of these tasks when other people around me are given much, much less tasks and they are paid significantly more. Mm-hmm. So it's really about keeping track of that, emailing it to other people, or having some kind of documentation that will cover your ass as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think you should definitely, when your performance review is coming up, like if you, I think you can, because one of her questions was, should she express what she's been noticing like around? And I want to say that, speaking of how they don't want you to know what other people make, this is such a this is on such a different scale. But I remember when I worked as a right before I started my first company, I worked as the receptionist at a beauty studio, and I wasn't interested in beauty. I was just there because like it was a job, and I made a certain amount hourly, and it was easy and fun, whatever. And so at one point, my boss wanted me to do something else, like while I was supposed to be manning the desk. So my best friend at the salon, who was a stylist, but she kind of was like part-time stylist, she asked her to work my job while I did this other thing. I can't even remember what I was doing. But when my friend told me that she was gonna take my job, and I was like, oh, okay. And I don't know how I told her, but I ended up telling her in our conversation about it how much I made an hour. And she was like, what the hell? She's only going to pay me, you know, I don't know. Maybe I made like $14 an hour and she was going to make 10. I don't
know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and at the time I was just like, oh, well, why don't you, like, I didn't even get it either. I was so naive. I was like, oh, why don't you like tell her, like, you should make what I make, like tell her, remind her how much I make, blah, blah, blah. So then I'm sure she did that. And I don't know, remember how it worked out, but whatever. Then cut to, I think it was a couple months later, and I quit that job. And the boss wanted to talk to me and have like a little exit, like phone thing. And she was like, just so you know, and she just brought that up out of the blue. She was like, you should know that in your future jobs, like, you don't, it's not appropriate or okay to talk to other people about how much you make. Like, that's not like something that you, she was pissed about it. She was pissed that I had told her how much I usually got paid. And so anyway, the bottom line is, I remember being really confused about that at the time, but obviously like kind of understanding, but also being like, but like, I work at your company. We're allowed to like talk about our salaries or about whatever. And I think the point is to this caller who's like, should I bring up what I've noticed? I don't even think this job is like worth, like, I think you should bring up that you've asked for a raise and like been given the runaround, but I don't necessarily think you should bring up like, well, this person makes this much and this person makes this much, just because like, I don't know, my experience is like they get really weird about that stuff. And I don't even think you're going to be at this job for a very long time. You know what I mean?
Well, do you disagree? I disagree to a degree. Because if she's in charge, because I don't know what her position is, but if she has anything to do with hiring people or training new hires, then she should bring it up, because then she should on some level know what the starting salary is for a new person. And that's not necessarily, I'm telling you what I'm making. That's just, I know what the salary is.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, for example, when I worked for the chiropractor, who I'm pretty sure listens to the podcast, what up? Anyway, I was in charge of hiring new people. That was one of my jobs. It was a lot of different hats that I wore at that job. But so I knew how much they were making, and they were making double what I was making. Yeah. That's unacceptable, right? So if you come to your supervisor with facts, I know that this is the starting salary. I'm making $10,000 or less. I want equal, at least a minimum. That's not gossiping, right?
Yeah.
I can look on the website and I can see the starting salary is this, and I don't make in that bracket.
Yeah.
There's a significant difference here. And then the other thing that they can do is, so when I worked at the chiropractic office, I did HR, which I have no degree in. I did HR, I did sales, and I did physical therapy. So those three things, what I did is I looked at the average salaries for all three of those positions, and I was not making anywhere in the average salary for those positions. And that's when I came to him and I said, these are the average salaries. If you want me to stay here, I need to be making a little bit more than that because I'm doing all three of those positions.
100%. Yeah, yeah. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I guess on the other hand of my point, even if you're not going to stay there long, it's like, then you might as well ask for what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't like blow up your spot, but ask for what you want, see what they come back with. And if they don't come back with what you want, it's like you're already looking for other jobs. So, and on these other jobs, like, so just keep looking for the other jobs. And on these other jobs, just like kind of make sure that, I think you should ask for, like we were talking about in the beginning, like negotiate and like really try to like hit your upper level. Because if you're right for the job, they're going to want to keep you. They'll just, you know what I mean? Like you can always negotiate. So yeah, I think you're going to find another job for the longer term intuitively. Just, it might not be right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think don't leave this job before you find that other job, because that's, I 100%. Think you're just fucking yourself on that point. But I do feel like even if you don't find a job that you stay at for 10 years, I don't think that's the goal anymore in our society. Our society is not, I'm going to have a good job and I'm going to stay in that job for 20 years, because companies fuck us over. So the goal is, I'm not going to necessarily work at five different jobs in 1 year, because that looks a little sketchy. But I am going to keep looking around for different opportunities, because I'm not going to let somebody steal opportunities from me or undervalue me because I've been here for X amount of years. So go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, and that's also why you should definitely look for another job and not, like, there's no, it's kind of like a bad relationship where it's like, if the person keeps being like, well, yeah, maybe in the future, like, it'll get better. Maybe in the future I'll come in. Maybe in the future, like, they're not following through with things. It's like, you don't, we don't have time to wait anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's kind of do or die. It's kind of now or never, meaning, we don't have time to hope that you'll, this job or this person or whatever is going to turn into something of value if they're not already showing they can be that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if it's not giving that, which from your voicemail, it sounds like it is not giving, then take that message, communicate what feels appropriate, and like start making plans to move up. You know what I mean? Like, So look for another job. Yes, don't leave until you find something else. But like, know that what you deserve is out there, and don't waste time waiting around, because there's no time, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
All right. Boom. Solved.
Solved. Problem solved.
Problem solved. Easy as that. But hopefully that helps, and let us know if you have updates. Okay, should we go to our second question of the
Let's do it.
By the way, that so random, but that reminds me, we started playing Jock Jams Volume 1 for my son this weekend, and he literally like, it was like we pushed a special button in him that we didn't know existed, and he was just like raving by himself on the floor. He's just like, hey, we like, he like, it's his favorite thing ever. So
did you see the Instagram that I sent you?
The one on TikTok. I replied and I was like,
"Oh, was it on the TikTok?" Yeah, I didn't see. I didn't know.
It was like this old couple raving and these like really stylish. And she was like, "You and your husband." I was like, "Yeah, I actually already saw this and thought the same thing." But
good times. Okay.
Just in case anyone wants to know, Jock Jam still hits. Okay. So our second question was written in, and this is what it says. Hi, ladies. So glad to have you back and really excited about this new season of the podcast. My question has to do with my love life. Basically, I'm stuck in this on-off relationship saga and really need some help moving forward. I've been seeing this guy for about a year. I really like him. We have great chemistry and a lot of fun together, but he's extremely skittish when it comes to commitment or getting any deeper, and I'm yearning for more than he seems capable of giving. It's become this frustrating cycle where things are good, then I say I want more, he says he likes how things are, we part ways, and then somehow I give in and we end up back at square one. I know deep down that I deserve a relationship that's fulfilling and committed, but there's this weird gravitational pull keeping me tethered to this situationship. How can I summon the courage to break free from this cycle for good? I'm tired of settling for less than what I know I truly desire. It's just so hard. I feel like I'm addicted, LOL. Any advice on how I can finally make a clean break? Thanks. Keep on blooming. Anonymous.
I just want to say that I love you, that you guys say keep on blooming. I appreciate it.
So cute.
This is a tough – this – relationships to me are more
muddy.
Yeah, they're more muddy because they're more intimate, obviously, and they've got feelings involved and stuff. And I feel like work is just like cut and dry, like, fuck it, leave. And relationships are like, whoa. Like, it explains so much about me. Anyway.
No, I feel the same way, so I get it.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you go first.
But doesn't that say something about it? It's like work has become easier, I think, like more cut and dry, more black and white, because we now know no one cares. These people don't care about us. It's about – and even for us, it's about money pretty much. Otherwise, no one would have a job, really.
Yeah.
We need money, so we work. And so when you get that through your head, it becomes very easy to prioritize yourself and like what you
disconnect emotionally from the situation. Yeah. And that's kind of like a hard truth, but I think somewhere along the lines you do face that reality of like, you don't really give a fuck about me, even in a mom and pop environment where you know the owner, you're like family, air quote, you're not. You're just not. You're an employee.
I mean, there might be special situations where you might have a deeper relationship, but at the end of the day,
do you remember my situation with that? We had a deeper relationship. It was terrible.
Yeah, but that wasn't like bad. Loving. That was like psychotic.
That was
psychotic. But going back to this question, like
I have a funny story really quick.
Oh,
really
go for quick. It.
Okay, so my back hurt and I had to go to this chiropractic office.
Yeah.
I've hurt my back really badly. Anyway, it's getting better. He's fixing it because he's a fucking good chiropractor. Anyway.
This is your former boss.
This is my former boss, but I was there Friday and one of the girls, their phones were down. Something wasn't working in the office and this makes the owner like pissed. Like he goes from like 0 to 1,000 like that real fast. Okay. And I know he's upset because I know him, but if you were just a patient, like you don't know that he's upset because he's got a good poker face.
Yeah.
But I know he's pissed because I already know that something's broken because I tried to call in and the phones weren't working. If he's listening, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to say your name or your business, but I go there, get my back fixed. And he starts like in on the employees and he starts like just picking at them and picking at them. And I'm just keeping my mouth shut, like, I'm not saying shit. And so I sit there and the employee looks at me and she's like, I cannot fucking stand him today. And I was like, I get that. I really get that. And she's like, he's on a new fucking level. I'm like, he's actually not even the worst I've seen him.
So this is someone you used to work with?
No, all new people. They just they know that I used to work there.
They know you used to work
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so she's like pissed. And I'm just like, this is nothing. He threw pies at us. Yeah. This is nothing.
Just so you know, and if he listens, this is so awkward, but this man, we've said this before, but a long time ago, this man literally is Michael Scott. Literally, yeah. Like, he looks exactly like him. He talks exactly like him. He acts like him. When I first started working with Ambi, like, they had a pie day at work where he made them wear trash bags, like, around their bodies. And then had them all pie each other in the face.
No, he pied us.
Oh, he pied them.
He pied them. Yes, because he was in a sad mood and he wanted to cheer himself up. So he pied us.
Is that not Michael Scott behavior? That is exactly what Michael Scott would do.
The other thing was there was like National Bosses Day. Right?
Yeah.
One year, one of the employees that worked there before I worked there trashed his office and he loved it. He thought, like, for National Bosses Day, he thought, like, it was the most special thing.
It was a loving prank.
Yes.
That and is so Michael Scott.
And so every year, one year we didn't trash his office, pissed the whole day, pissed.
That's actually insane.
I mean, he would do nice things for us. It was, again, it was a little weird. Like, on Mother's Day, he would get everybody, like, roses, which is nice, which is very sweet. Yeah. He would get us roses. There was one day that I didn't know that he did this. I was new. And he got me a bouquet of roses. And I was like, who got these? And I didn't read the card because I'm an idiot. And I was like, God, flowers are such a dumb gift. They just die right away. And
I can just see him coming up, taking the bouquet and throwing it in the trash like an angry little child. I thought
he
would.
He didn't. No, he ended up getting us like chocolate-covered strawberries or Oreos. Oh, my God. I mean, he gives good gifts. I think he
just wanted to be like the man in your guys' life. Sorry, boss.
We all had daddy issues. That was the thing. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God. It was so. And the video of when you guys did the pie thing, it did look like a dad with all his daughters. Like, just like, it was funny.
It was weird because he would only hire young, attractive women. I digress. Well, let's move on. It's fine. He's probably listening.
Sorry, dude. Let's go back to this question. So basically, this listener is. In this, I mean, I don't know about you, Ambi, but like I have been in a lot of these, like where it's on, off.
I've never been in anything like that. I don't know.
Really?
Girl, are you being serious?
Oh my God. I really thought you were serious.
No, I'm totally joking. Go ahead.
Well, I used to be in so many of these and it was like, I'm thinking of one person in particular who – It was like things would be so good. You know, things were good. Things were chill. There was nothing wrong. Everything was good. Intimacy was good. We always had fun. It's the same type of thing this person's saying. But like, I got along with their family so well. Did you say her family? No, their family.
Oh, I was like, so well. Are you coming out on the podcast right now? What's happening? Go ahead.
I've never been in a relationship with a woman. It would kind of be one of these things where I'd be like, okay, so like, what's going on here, you know? And he would just be like, it's all gravy, you know? And it's like wanting to avoid the going deeper, wanting to avoid the commitment thing. And that would just really piss me off because it made me feel like, well, why? Like, why not? What about me? Like, I'm not enough. Like, I'm enough to I'm enough to have fun with. I'm enough to have sex with. I'm enough to have this great relationship with your family and each other and whatever. But like, I'm not enough to be in a relationship with, like I'm not enough to commit to, you know? And that would, so my response to that was, all right, fine. Well, what are we even doing? We shouldn't even see each other. So then I'd go away and then I'd think, well, he'll reach out. He'll want me back. Sometimes he would, but sometimes I would just go back. Like sometimes I would just be like, okay, sorry, I was being a bitch. You know, like sometimes I would let my emotions calm down. And then I would be like, well, I'd rather kind of see him than not see him. It was just like, I just remember feeling so stuck. Like I couldn't get out. So similar to what this person's saying, like I couldn't get out of this cycle. And there was a deeper part of me that was like, I really do want that committed relationship. Like I want to experience that. And it just, I think what kept me hanging on was like feeling like I was so close with him. You know what I mean? Like it was right there. And if I could, it almost felt like if I could just make him see, if I could just, or if I could just make him jealous enough or something, you know what I mean? Like if I could just, then we're 90% there. We could just go 10% and be there. You know what I mean? Be, and I could have that. But I think that is 100% a lie, like to myself, you know. It's like it wasn't 90% there. It was, you know, it was probably like 60% there, but I thought, told myself it was 90, and it was never gonna be 100 ever. You know, so like I just really relate to this person, and I want to say that breaking out of that cycle and moving past that person, best thing I ever did, because when I actually did allow there to be vacancy in my life in that area, that is when I met my husband. And that is when I got to experience like a deeper level of relationship than I ever had in my life. And it was so rewarding in so many ways. But when you feel like you're afraid to let go of like part of what you want, because you're like, well, I'd rather have part rather than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of impossible to get out of that cycle, because you're convinced that there's not, it's part of it or nothing. But it's in actuality, I believe it's part of it or all of it. There might be nothing in between. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, I believe all of it is out there. But you will not find it if you're so hung on to part of it. You get what I'm saying?
Kind of. I'm going to take the other side on this. I'm going to take the guy's
go for
point
it.
Of view. Because I've been in the – you all right?
Sorry. Yes.
No, you're fine. Because I've been in the other side a couple of times because I'm a dick. And really not someone you want to date. It's really funny because I am either the type of person that like you don't last 30 days or we date for 5 years.
Yeah.
Those are the extremes.
Yeah.
Because I get very annoyed with people very quickly or I will not let you go and I am up your ass. Those are it. But I dated this guy for like 9 months. It was a long time. And I never wanted to be, and God, he's not listening, but Jesus, I'm sorry if you are, because I still feel bad about this, but I never wanted to be boyfriend, girlfriend. I was just, he met Riley, like,
yeah,
he was a really sweet guy, but I just didn't want a relationship with him.
And you, did you know that from the beginning?
100%. I knew that from the beginning.
Yeah.
100%. But I didn't want to lose him because we did have fun together and we did like, I liked hanging out with him, but I didn't like hanging out with him enough to want to not date anybody else because I was dating other people and I was having a good time. And that's the same thing with the girl that I dated, who I should not name, but she wanted a commitment. She wanted a relationship. I didn't want it. I didn't want it. Now, granted, I was just out of a marriage, but I didn't want that. And it wasn't something like, well, maybe I could see a relationship. No, from jump, I knew I don't want a relationship with this person. And the unfortunate part about this is that, like you're saying, that you were like, okay, bye. And then you're the one that comes back, because when you say, okay, bye, that person genuinely doesn't give a fuck.
Exactly.
That person is genuinely like, that sucks, moving on.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel what you feel. They don't feel that connection, that commitment. They like you around and they don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
But they don't feel that level of I can't live loss. Without this person. Yeah. Like it's with both of those people, it was like, all right.
Yeah.
Bye. See ya. Yeah. And both times they came back and I was like, what's up? I thought you were.
And you probably
were leaving.
You probably also knew and could feel that you still had the upper hand, even though they were saying goodbye.
It might have been more subconscious, but it wasn't it, for me. It wasn't like an intentional, I have the upper hand. It was like, I genuinely don't give a shit. Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks. But bye. And when they did both times, what ended up happening is I ended up breaking up with both of them because I didn't want a relationship with them and met somebody else that I did want a relationship with. And that's fucking hard and it's hurtful and it's mean, but like, it's also your choice to be in that situation. You know, I had a patient that this is so fucked. I walk people for a living. That's what we do. And so we were walking and he's probably in his 70s and he's telling me, oh, I used to live in this place. And I was like, oh, cool. That's by my house. Like, you know, how long do you live there for? We're just shooting the shit. And he's like, I lived there with my girlfriend of 6 years. And I was like, oh, nice. He's like, and then I had to move out. And I was like, why? He's like, she said I had to marry her and move. So I moved.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you like, if they don't want commitment or the next level, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you see all of these TikTok videos that are like shut up rings. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard it, a shut up ring or shut up wedding is basically just that. It's this person asking to get married, begging to get married, whatever the case may be. And then the person finally does, the other person does it just to shut the other person up. And it ain't cute. It is not the type of wedding that I think anyone envisions or anyone wants. That's not what I want for myself. And so I feel like if you're in a relationship, and I've been in a relationship where I was with this person for 5 years, I wanted so badly him to live with me, to commit, like we were boyfriend and girlfriend, but he didn't want to live with me. He didn't want to marry me. He didn't want any of those things. And I so badly wanted it that I ignored the abuse. I ignored the signs of him cheating. I ignored the signs that he was a douchebag. Like I ignored all of these things for what? Mm-hmm. And would I have even been happy if that happened? No, hell no, I wouldn't have been happy. Mm-hmm. Losing that man was the best thing that ever happened to me. But at the time, it felt like the hardest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. So what's your advice to this person?
Walk away. Walk away. Yeah. There might be a soul connection, but who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And what you are in love with is the potential that could be, not the reality mm-hmm. that's happening. Mm-hmm. You got to walk away. Unless you want to stay in it. If you want to stay in it, cool. But understand where you are and where you're going to be is where you are is the same spot as where you're going to be in 5 years. And if you can live with that, then cool, then do it. But all that's going to change is you're going to get older.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Dang. Yeah. Older and in the same place. And like, do you really want to waste these years? I agree. I think I agree on both points, like walk away. And also if you feel like, no, I can't walk away. I need to be in this. Okay. Then you're not done. When you're done, you're done. This is something I feel like I say to you like a lot. Like we talk about a lot of different things and I say, okay, well, you're asking me my advice on a myriad of topics throughout our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, okay, well, this is what I would do. This is what I think is the right thing to do. But because I always like feel like energetically, it's like, but I'm talking to someone who doesn't like to be told what to do. So leaving it just like, well, this is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really the best place to leave it. So then I say, but if you, because I can feel also like she's going to keep going with this, even if she, like, Ambie is the type of person where she might know, and I can be this way too sometimes. She might know the quote right thing to do or like mm-hmm. what she should do, but mm-hmm. she's going to hear the advice and then she's going to do what she wanted to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what she's going to do. And as a friend and as a, someone who loves someone else, just in general, in life, you have to accept that. Like, people are going to do what they're going to do no matter what. You can give them all the great advice in the world, but they're always just going to kind of like follow their instincts. So the point is, I agree with Ambi. I think from what you're saying, walk away. And at the same time, if you find that you can't, maybe stop resisting, like stop creating this push and pull and say to yourself, okay, I know that I should walk away. I know what I want. If I can't walk away yet, maybe I'm just not done yet. Maybe there's mm-hmm. something else I need to learn here. And I don't say that in the way of like, oh, maybe there's potential for this relationship. It's not that, to be clear. It's maybe there's something more I'm supposed to learn from this challenging experience.
Yeah.
So know that going down the road will probably bring more struggle, but that's kind of the choice that you're making if you choose to not walk away. And I think, you know, I think the last thing I want to say about this is just have faith. Like, have faith that there is more out there. There's so much out there. Like, mm-hmm. I used to be one of those girls who really thought, like, no, I just don't think it's out there for me, you know? And that's why I would accept so much less. I would accept – so even that guy I was just talking about, I really loved him. But looking back, even I had reservations. I just blew past them because I was mm-hmm. like, but I just want you to commit to me because I need that as validation for myself. Like, I want to know I'm worth it type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like looking back, like you said, like, I'm so glad it didn't work out. Because that wasn't really what I wanted. You know, I just felt like I needed something and I didn't have anything. So have faith, like have a little bit of like belief that there is more for you when you're ready. When you're ready. Key.
Mm-hmm. But I want to say intuitively something is coming up.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that I have learned in dating women. Women are fucking crazy. I'll say that. I love you guys. Fucking, we're all fucking crazy. Okay. But one of the things that I have learned is that not only women, but everybody, we're all getting this message shoved down our throats of like, you can do better. You deserve the world. Like, don't tolerate shit.
Yeah.
But we're all getting that message, right? Yeah. So when the other person fucks up, it's like, fuck you. I deserve better. Now, this situation is a little bit different because this is one person doesn't want to be in the relationship and one person does. That's mm-hmm. different. But what I am saying is take this information and learn from, okay, where I know where I want to be. What type of person do I have to be to get there?
Mm-hmm.
What types of things keep coming up for me in relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Like what complaints do people have? Like for mm-hmm. me, people are like, every person I've dated is like, you always bring up the shit that I do and you can't let things go.
Hmm.
Valid. Okay. That's something I need to work on. I'm going to get with my therapist. We're going to work on that shit. But nobody is perfect. Everybody has flaws. So totally. Take this information that you're getting. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. Don't go to them and be like, why? But think about what complaints does this person have that could be valid complaints, because not everybody's trying to gaslight you. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe take that and become the type of person that you want to be in a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I feel like we could talk about this topic all day because I could just open my mouth and go down a whole nother spiral. But we've been talking a lot, and I feel like in the future we'll get a lot of other relationship questions, so I'm sure we'll be touching on this again. But I hope that was helpful, anonymous listener. We are sending you love, and be easy on yourself. Like, be easy on yourself. You mentioned that you feel like you're addicted. Like, it kind of
you
can
might
be. Yeah, it kind
you
of can be an addiction.
And that is something to work on. Why am I addicted to this pattern? Did like my dad not love me? Did my mom not love me? And I have to earn or prove who I am to them. That's something to kind of look at, you know?
Yeah.
Because we all have fucked up childhoods and they play out in romantic relationships.
1,000%.
What's the surprise twist at the end?
All right. Yes. So I told Ambi before we recorded this that I have a surprise segment at the end. We can choose to keep this segment if we like it or not if we don't. But the final segment of our episode is going to be a would you rather. Okay.
I love it. Oh my God. I'm so excited. All right.
Oh my God. I'm so happy. Wait. And before I tell you this would you rather, one, I want to say I heard this from another podcast and I've been asking people in my life because I really like the question. It's a really good thinker. But I also want to say that I asked our Patreon community yesterday to vote on this, to pick their would you rather. And the result, they went very strong in one direction. So first, Ambi,
I just want to say that I love that I have no fucking clue that you did that.
Yeah. So I knew you wouldn't.
That's embarrassing. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So this is the would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather live to 80 years old, healthy, you're happy, great life, but on your 80th birthday, you drop dead. No pain, no sickness, you just drop dead.
Okay.
But you live to 80, okay?
Okay.
Or you get to live to 120. You get 40 more years. You have a good life. You get to meet your great-great-great-grandchildren, okay? You achieve all these things you wanted to achieve, but the last 5 years of your life, so from 115 to 120, excruciating pain.
Okay, I want to hear your answer first.
Well, I'm a little undecided. Well, this is why I was so
You're
shocked.
Undecided. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm a little undecided because on one hand, I hate – if you tell me I'm going to go through pain, even if it's like one day of pain, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I am so averse to any kind of pain. So it's like 5 years of pain. Like, I don't know. But then I think about, wait, but I'd get 35 more years and and they would be good years and I would get to like see my great-great-great-grandchildren and I'd be happy. Like, I mean, that's a lot of life to give up. Like, that's a lot of life. So and 80, I mean, that's pretty much halfway from where, like, I mean, the next 40 years are going to go by, like, fast, you know? So I think I'll pick 120, but. What?
Okay. Have you ever met, what's the oldest person you've ever met? Like, you've ever talked to in real life
and had a conversation? Hold on. You have to keep in mind technology. Okay. And developments in the medical community.
I want to know, how old is the oldest person that you've ever had a conversation with and talked to?
I actually don't know.
Like, well, give me a ballpark. 70s, 80s, how old?
No, like close to the hundreds.
Close to the hundreds. And were they of sound mind? Were they walking?
With assistance, yeah.
With assistance, like an assisted device or a person?
Like a walker.
A walker. Okay, that's pretty good. I work with this population. I work with geriatric patients, which are old people, and I love them with my whole heart. And I've seen hospice care, and I've seen the oldest person that I have is 105. She's adorable.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to pick the first one. Hands down, don't even have to think about it.
As soon as I asked the question, I thought to myself, I should have known. I know exactly what Ambie's going to pick because she always says, get me out of this planet. Like, she didn't want to be here. So, like, why would she stay longer?
I don't know why I don't want to live 40 more years. Because here's a newsflash. Your great-grandkids don't give a fuck about you. They don't fucking care. The reality is you're probably going to be in a nursing home in a bed, held up. And those, the pain that you're in, abso-fucking-lutely not. No, thank you. I don't want bed sores on my ass. Nope. I hope to God that never happens to me. Nope.
Yeah, but it's
– And age is not that old. Like, you know, I'm still up moving around. My
that's what I'm saying. 80 is not that old.
I've got that. But I could do that.
But what I'm saying is, like, what if you could guarantee that those 35 years were, like, full of life and, like, they were good and healthy?
For what? I've lived 80. I don't need to live another 30.
Well, absolutely like, what not. If a lot of people start living much longer?
There's no way.
What do you mean there's no way?
There's no way. We're going to get into conspiracy theories, and we don't need to go down that road. But I'm telling you, they make money off us being sick. They don't make money off us being healthy.
No, I know that.
I'm saying is there's no way that there's going to have, like, a technology come out to where you get to be 135 or 120? No.
20. No, they already do. The life expectancy has already risen, dude. Significantly. So
I mean, since when? Since the 1900s?
In the past, like, 5 or 10 years. And I think we're about to have an explosion in technology, and especially in the medical community. I really do.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe that's cool, but that doesn't get rid of all of the illnesses. It just makes the illnesses more manageable.
Yeah, but you could say that, like, we all have illnesses right now that we're managing.
We probably do. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely do. I take medicine for it every day. So, like, I also have the illness currently of a succubus feeding off of my energy in my body.
Yeah, you do. That's
that true. I'm basically fighting. So,
yeah. Give me some water.
For like a whole year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But look, I 100% get the other choice. Like, I'm tempted to choose that. I guess I just feel like if I could have good, healthy experience, you know, maybe I would want to do that. Like, if I was going to be with my family. But if not, then, yeah, I guess.
But here's the thing.
Anyway, wait. But can I tell you the results of the poll?
Oh, my. Wait. Before. Okay. I just want to throw this out there really quick. Yeah. Let's say you live to 120.
Yeah.
The likely – how – gross, there's something on my floor. How old would your child be? What's the age difference? 30 years? Let's say 30 years, just for numbers. So your kid is in their 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, and 90s would be like the new 60s, 70s.
If they live that long, there's no guarantee that they will live that long. You are going to live that long. So that means you've outlived your husband. You've outlived your kids.
No. In this example, I have not.
You can't just do that.
It's the my longer, would you rather.
The longer you live, the more likely you are to have people around you die. And that is one of the big factors is depression. That's probably
why 100% of our patrons chose the 80-year-old option.
Nobody wants to be here longer than they can. My 105-year-old patient, she's bedbound. And when you move her, she's like, you can't do that. I'm an old lady. She's so feisty and funny.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to be here. People that live that long don't want to be here that long.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I used to have a patient that would be like, why aren't I dead yet? I don't know.
I actually do really believe, and this is a topic for another day, but I really do believe that we should have the option to suicide ourselves. Like, just
we treat dogs nicer than we treat people. 100%.
That's what I mean. I feel 100%. Like we should have the option. Actually, I just read about this guy. He invented this pod that's called like the suicide pod. I think it's in Europe. But basically, you go into this pod. It releases – you have to push the buttons inside. It releases CO2. It basically kills you with like gas. And it's like a humane way to do that. And it has all these like safety features on. It's very like technological. But I mean, it's in Europe. Like, it's not coming here, and I have no idea how you get access to it. But that being said, like, I 100% believe, like, if you feel like it's your time, like, you can't just like make a rash decision and go do that. And you have to be of a certain age, probably. But like, I think you should have the option, especially when you're like suffering.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Let me put a little fear in everybody's heart really quick.
Wait, I was just about to say we just ended on the saddest note. Now you want to put fear in people's hearts?
Yeah, I'm going to put fear in everybody's heart. Think about this, okay?
Please don't talk about climate change.
No.
Okay.
No, that's going to come. You wake up one day. You can't move any part of your body. All you can do is blink your eyes, and you are fully mentally aware of what is happening. You are fully paralyzed. You can't verbalize anything. That is called locked-in syndrome.
Locked-in syndrome, yeah.
Huge fear of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. I know about that, and that is scary, but I don't have that fear necessarily.
So many things can go wrong in these meat suits. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
drink your water and take your vitamins, people.
Treat your body right. Yeah, 100%.
Get some exercise. Maybe just go walk a lap outside. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you guys. thank you guys for weighing in on this. Would you rather, if you want us to do another would you rather next week, you can either send us your suggestions or just let us know you like this. And please, please call and leave us a voicemail on our hotline 562-542-3464 or email us your question at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com. You can ask us about your love life. You can ask us about work. You can ask us about your family. You can ask us about whatever, whatever it is. Just ask us a question. We need you guys to help us with these next episodes. And if you have the kindness in your hearts, if you want to take 2 minutes to give us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen, that is like the best thing you could do for us right now.
And it's actually good luck. It'll bring prosperity and luck to your family for many years.
Absolutely. 100%. If you didn't know.
Only 5 stars.
Yes.
Only 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars. Has to be 5 stars. Ambie, anything? Oh, Ambie, did you want to mention readings or are you not doing?
Oh, that? Yeah. So I'm doing readings right now until the 31st of the month. You get a discount code, which is GIFT, gift, and it gives you 30% off of a reading. I'm also back on Hey Hero, if you wanted to ask one question there. I know. Whoop, whoop. And I do all kinds of readings now. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and an hour. So
nice.
Yeah, if you are interested, go to my website, ambrosiamatthews.com.
All right, guys. Well, with that, we will leave you until next week. Keep on blooming. We love you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.